Tonight's message, the Lord laid actually on my heart last year. Pastor mentioned the possibility of me preaching graduation this year. But as it got closer, I started to wrestle with it a little bit. It's not necessarily what you would deem a graduation passage, and I don't know really how you would deem that. Maybe Paul to Timothy or Paul to Titus, something along those lines, but that's not how the message is going to go tonight. And I started to pray about it and think about it, and I came to the realization this is where God want us to be. And one of those reasons is that, James, you're coming to a point more than any other before that you will be responsible for the way your life looks and the decisions, though your parents are still involved in those decisions, have a greater impact than before. You're becoming more responsible for your own life and the way it looks. Before, you were led and helped by your parents and are still, but a lot of the things you are going to decide, whether it be where you live, what church you go to, how late you stay out, were once dictated by your parents, but are now going to be choices that you're going to have to make on your own. Though your parents are still going to be there and will want to help you, you're coming into a place of adulthood where you have to make those decisions for yourself. And you make sure that you make the best possible decisions, and that's going to only be done in one way. And so we're going to be in Psalm 23 tonight. If everyone can find their place there and stand with me out of respect of God's word once you get to Psalm 23. Well, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God, as we come before you tonight, I just ask for your help to communicate clearly, to communicate effectively, and to fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and to guide my words that what you want said would be said. I ask, Lord, that you help everyone here to have their hearts and ears open. I know this is a familiar psalm, Lord, and it's easy to pass over it and just to put our hearts in neutral and not apply it to ourselves, to make it something familiar and brush it off as something we already know, Lord. But I ask that you help everyone here to have an open heart and open ear to what's about to be said. Not because it's what I have said, but it's what you have said, Lord. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're referenced throughout Scripture as sheep. You can look at Mark 6:34, Luke 15:4, John 10:15, Hebrews 13:20, as well throughout the entire book of Psalms. And this is another instance that David here begins to write in this psalm. Most likely, though we don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, is most likely at the end of his life. Looking back and remembering being in the field, taking care of sheep, pulling his favorite sheep out of the mud, again, saving maybe the Mark sheep from drowning, or the James sheep from going and jumping in the wolf's mouth again. And as he thinks back at all the good times, all the memories as he had as a young boy in those green pastures, he starts to pen these words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I don't want us to go by this first phrase too quickly, because there's, quite honestly, I could have built my whole message off of verse 1 and we would have been in a good place tonight. But that word there, Lord, is the word Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one. And the same one that's found, the God that is in Isaiah chapter 6, when the angels are around worshiping, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." The God that created the world and formed us out of the dust of the ground and breathed into us the breath of life. "The Lord is my shepherd. If he be shepherd to no one else, he is shepherd to me. He cares for me, he watches over me, and he preserves me." We do well to remind ourselves of this time and again when we open the Bible, and as David does in the opening of the psalm, not just to know there is a God, but there is a God with a relationship with you that created the heavens and the earth. Right. And if we don't make a conscious decision to recognize who God is. We talked about it this week. We can have a relationship or we're saved, but if we're not actively seeking or making sure Jesus is with us where we go, we can quickly leave him behind. As one of the messages Brother Buddy preached is about how Joseph and Mary left Jesus behind because they made the assumption that he was with them. And we can oftentimes make the assumption that God is with us and he's nowhere near us because we haven't kept up fellowship with him. We also remember that if it is not the Lord who is our shepherd, then you will always be in want. Because if the Lord is not your shepherd, something else will be your shepherd. And if it's not God, there's going to be always a lack of substance there. There's going to be a lack of fulfillment there. There's going to be a lack of being able to say, I'm at peace. But when the Lord is our shepherd, David writes, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He gives us rest. In Psalm 4, verse 8, it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. See, God, when we make him our shepherd, he provides for our needs. He makes us fulfilled. See, when I was studying this, and I was reading a book. It's called The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. And it's super informational about how a shepherd would take care of his sheep. And the more you realize how much God references as a sheep, you can see how our actions are very sheep-like, unfortunately. Sheep are the one, they basically have no instincts. They run. That's about it. That's the best they got. So bad, but they follow each other blindly. And they'll even end up jumping off cliffs and killing themselves if they follow the wrong sheep. But when the shepherd's in control, sheep can be at rest, but it takes four things: free from fear, free from friction with other sheep, free from being tormented by flies or parasites, and free from hunger. And it's, if we are submitted to the shepherd, if the sheep follow the shepherd's responsible for these things to be at ease. And there's many times in our life, and James, you're just starting out in life, right? You're, to be fair, I'm not much older than you, so I barely have any room to talk. You're about as close as you're closer to me and my sister's youngest sister's age than me and Brother Tad. My Brother Tad could be probably my dad. So me and James and Brother Tad are two kind of different stages of life here. So I'm kind of the middleman tonight. But in your beginning stages of life, there's going to be often times where fear will arise. There will be often times where there will be things bothering you. There will be afflictions, or there will be parasites. There will be friction with other sheep. You'll go to a church. No church is perfect. I wish it were, but I'm here, so it's not going to be perfect. Sorry, y'all. But there will be friction with other sheep. There will be times where you're going to be hungry, where you're going to be in want. And you will have to make a decision. Will you follow the shepherd's way that leads to greener pastures, or are you going to try to go your own way? The shepherd is responsible, but it is the humble heart walking quietly and contently in close and intimate companionship of Christ that is at rest, that can relax, simply glad to lie down and let the world go by. There's blessing of location when you're following the shepherd, but there is satisfaction as well. It says, lead me beside the still waters. See, as I was studying, the sheep would be led to different locations, from pasture to pasture to pasture to pasture, so that not to destroy the grass in one area. Likewise, the shepherd would have to lead the flock to times of drinking to quench their thirst. But sheep have a hard time seeing the end goal. So much so that along the way from just the pasture to get watered, they will start to drink the muddy footsteps of puddles of water where all the sheep have walked through, fluids have gone in, parasites are born in, and will drink it and will hurt themselves if the shepherd's not paying attention, if the sheep aren't following the shepherd's direction correctly. And there's, unfortunately, our flesh oftentimes cannot see the end goal. And I'm like so far ahead of my nose, it's not even funny. So we're gonna back up and go forward again, and it's gonna be great, I promise. But there's gonna be oftentimes, James, in church, that we are going to be in a place wherever God says, okay, go this way, and your satisfaction will be met. Go this way, and I'm going to satisfy your thirst. But there will be times along the way where we're going to have the opportunity to, simply because it's there, because it's the world we live in, where there's going to be puddles filled with parasites and things that will hurt us. And unless we're staying close to the shepherd, unless we're listening for his voice and listening for his direction, we will not end up where he wants us to end up, in a place of satisfaction, rest, and comfort. But we'll end up diseased, wounded, and in need of restoration. Your flesh will try to get you to do this all the time. It'll sell you short of what God is bringing to you to satisfy you, whether that's a job, a relationship, a calling on your life, a blessing that he wants you to have. God did not call us to live like the sheep that are not his, or like other sheep that are not following him. He has called you to listen and to follow his voice. But unfortunately, there will be times that we fall and we need to be restored. And there is great comfort in knowing, even though we do not follow like we should, there's a shepherd that loves enough to restore us. And there's going to be times where we fall down and when we stray from God, and thus we lose the blessing and protection of the shepherd and end up needing to be restored and set back up. This restored here has the idea of a sheep that fell over on its back. Once again, sheep aren't very survival friendly creatures. So if they get too much wool, or if they get too fat, or if they lie in the wrong place in the ground, they can turn and get stuck on their back. They're like a turtle. They ain't going nowhere. So they're stuck like that, right? And if they stay like that too long, the gases in their body will build up and they will die. They only can be restored and brought back to the flock if by the shepherd taking them, bringing them back to their feet. And sometimes it takes time of the shepherd holding them, because their legs have lost circulation. And it's going to take time with the shepherd to get fully restored. And there's going to be times in your life, and I pray they're few and far between. I pray for all of our teens that they're few and far between. That there's times where you lose sight of God and lose the sight of sound of his voice, and you get yourself in a place that you shouldn't be. But when you do, make sure you go back to the one that loves you and guides you and wants what's best for you, and that's the good shepherd. We also have got to be careful in those times too, that there's times God also corrects us. If it's a good shepherd, and God's the good shepherd, amen? He's not going to just let a sheep drink the parasite water or drink the poison flowers or eat the grass that he knows is going to hurt his sheep. So he has a rod and a staff. That rod is used to conk the sheep on the head to make sure they don't do something. So sometimes when there's sheep walking along the way and he starts to go for that puddle, the shepherd might smack him a little bit. Boom. And it might hurt for a minute, but the shepherd knows that he's going to keep him from the parasite and keep him from sickness. He's going to keep him from, and he might knock him away from the shallow grass that he knows there's a little bit of a pothole right there, a sinkhole right there, the sheep will easily roll onto its back. So he might hit up the sheep and get him along his way. We got to be careful not to confuse the loving correction of your shepherd with the destructive ways of this world. Because there's oftentimes I've seen too many Christians get upset with God for either not giving them what they want, not answering them how they wanted to, or correcting them in a way they didn't like, and then just leave church altogether. Because like, oh, if God's going to do that, I might as well live how I want to live. That's what your flesh will tell you. But God is protecting you. And don't confuse the two, because when you do, you're going to end up in the same place of being needing to be restored. When we come back to God, he can start to lead us once again in the right way. It says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. James, if you listen, he will lead you in right and for his glory. And that should be... the whole Christian life is built on the realization that we are no longer our own. There is a cost for our salvation. And because of that cost, God deserves our all. And we heard that this week at camp, didn't we? We heard how God deserves first place in our life. We heard how God needs to be with us wherever we go. We heard how God wants us to decide for him, to put him first. God wants us to decide to be led by him. Not just because he wants our affection and love and devotion, though that is true, but also so he can bless us, so he can bless you. And when we choose to be led in the right way by God, even if it's after a time of restoration, God is very intentional where he leads you. God doesn't just lead you on this wandering no purpose journey of what we call life just for you to make decisions on your own and then fail and like, ha, you need me. No, God has a specific step. And I tell the teenagers this all the time. God created you with the end from the beginning to the end in mind. He knows exactly where you are, exactly what you need to do, and exactly the way to get it done. But it takes following the shepherd. He leads us in the paths of right, but he also leads us through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. When we are his sheep, we do not have to face death. We are simply changing location where we are just walking through. See, just because it's only the shadow, and because life's greatest trial is death. Right? Because then we're no longer here. We know we can go through sickness and still be alive. We can face hardship and still make it out on the other side. But death is final. Or it was until Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross and gave us an opportunity to be in home in heaven with him forever. And because of that, it's only a valley. And we can confidently say, as in 2 Corinthians 5:8, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The good shepherd does not guarantee no struggle, but rather he will always take care of you all the way through. He does not avoid the valley or the enemy, but is rather with you through them all. And so when you go up and face something, you got to remember, James, that you're not by yourself. You got us, your church family, your parents, those that came before you. And when you go to Heartland, you'll have teachers, but you also have God with you in the moment. God is always with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. See, he didn't just set you up to do it by yourself. And actually, James was in junior church with me this morning, and we talked about how God has given us the ability to conquer sin if we trust in him and follow his way. We're not bound. Once you're saved, you're no longer bound to sin. Are we going to sin? Yes, because of our sin nature, but it's not the only option anymore. And so if you submit to the shepherd, you're going to be able to have the opportunity to have victory and that you no longer have to be afraid, but rather understand that God is with you through it all. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And there will be times that it would be wise to listen to some older sheep around here. Some balding, some not. But some completely bald, some not. But there's a lot of people that have walked this Christian life a long time, James, that you'll come into contact with, that would be wise to heed their advice about how to walk with the shepherd. There's some in here that have walked with the shepherd a long time. There's some that haven't walked so long. There's some, though, that have had learned lessons, though they haven't walked with the shepherd very long, that are would be an invaluable resource to you. So what I'm saying is there is some wisdom to be found when consulting, needing wisdom that you can find in those around you. Not only, though, does he protect us, give us satisfaction and provision, there's also abundance of blessing when we follow the shepherd, even in the presence of our enemies. That's how David finishes here. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's saying here, whenever he decided to make God his shepherd, his cup was in so much abundance that it started running over and started just spilling out. David is showing us the truth and the fact of the matter that you can live a blessed and protected life by staying close to the good shepherd. And that's how you find blessing, James. That's how you can stay on the right path, is hearing the voice of the God on your life, whether it's as little as, okay, I don't feel like going to church tonight. I just got, you know, back from camp. Thank you for being here, by the way. It's graduation and you're the only graduate, so it's beneficial that you're here. It could be that, oh, I just came off the UK and camp. I can just sleep in and not come to church. Or to something big as, all right, God, I think I want to marry this person for the rest of my life. What does that look like? Is this what you want, God? But from either extreme, God is there and God wants to bless you with the best possible answer. You have to just listen to his voice. And I want to add something to brother buddies. When God speaks, I'll say yes. Say yes even to the no's. Because James, there's going to be a lot of things that come at you and God's going to say no and you're going to have to say yes, sir. Some of there's going to be some hard no's. some things that you don't understand even in the time. But when you look back, just as David is, you can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The question becomes, are we submitting to the Lord as like we should right now? Because it's not just a James thing tonight. It's, are we in our Christian life listening for the shepherd's voice and submitting to him like we should? We cannot have the leading and the care of the shepherd if we're not listening for it. Whether we like it or not, God is trying to lead you even right now. The good shepherd will always lead you to say, I shall not want. The world will always lead you to say, I am in want. And even though you are saved, and I don't want to take for granted that everybody's saved in here in this room tonight. So first and foremost, to be part of the leading of the good shepherd, you have to be saved. You have to, at one point in your life, acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need a savior and that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Because if you don't, you can't be led by God. God can speak to your heart about needing salvation, but until you accept him, there's no peace, there's no rest, there's no happiness, true, lasting happiness. But even that, when you become saved, you're not automatically led by God, unfortunately. I wish that was the case, because that would make everything a lot easier if we're just automatically following the shepherd, but we're not. We're very much like sheep that always try to go for a little bit more, even though we know that it's going to hurt us, or we've been taught time and time again that this action creates this problem. We think we're different. We think we can get away with it. The grass is always greener, we might say. But you cannot have a fruitful Christian life if you're not letting the Lord lead you. Unfortunately, this is the reason so many Christians fall out of church, get out of being involved in ministry, because they have stopped being a Christian led by the shepherd and tried to lead themselves, and have become in a place that they're in want of peace and a want of satisfaction and a want of restoration. Yet anyone who decides, no matter how far away, no matter how long it's been, no matter where stage of life you're in, if there's a moment you say, okay, God, I've messed up. I need some help. Can you restore me, God? It might take some time with the shepherd tonight. It might take some time close to him for a while. Extra close. Some other study I've done in the past is would be lambs that wouldn't know the shepherd's voice nor follow him. And so what the shepherd would have to do would break that lamb's leg and carry him for a week until he knew his voice. That leg would heal fine, and then the lamb would know the shepherd's voice. There might be some times that God's going to bring you real close through some hardship, real close through some trials, so you make sure you know his voice and that you can stay close to him, so that you can be restored and in a place to be used by him and be blessed by him. Because if we choose to be led, we can find fulfillment and contentment in life. So much so that we can say that, like David, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You can have so much peace in your life, even when enemies are around you, you're able to sit down and partake of a meal and say that my head is anointed with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can come to a place, there is nowhere we would rather be than the presence of God. And if you want to be blessed by God, you may stay close to him. And James, I'm going to give you Paul's words tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, he tells Timothy to flee the love of money, to be content, to flee evil. But he starts to finish the chapter in verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Laid hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. James, I want you to finish well. I want all our team to just finish well. I told myself I wasn't going to cry. I think we can do it. I want all of our team to just finish well. But it takes one thing. And that's close to the shepherd. And church tonight, it's not just a teenager thing. It's a Christian life thing. And just like Brother Buddy said, it really only takes one thing. So I was telling the junior kids this morning about how to be conquerors. It takes one thing. When God speaks, you say yes. Say yes to that. I'm going to keep myself from things. Yes, I'm going to follow what you have to say. Yes, I'm going to let those friends go that I know I should. Yes, Lord, I'm going to go to this direction that you want me to go to. I'm going to follow you wherever you lead. It's a mission and a message every Christian should heed. Because if we're all his sheep, and if you are saved now, you are. The shepherd wants you to stay close. And maybe you've been having a hard time saying yes to where the Lord is leading you. Or maybe you're in a valley and you need to remind yourself that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Because the same God that brought David into the valley to kill Goliath is the same God that was with him when he needed to be restored when the prophet Nathan confronted him about his sin. Same God, didn't change. Still loved David. Ended up still calling David a man after his own heart. But it's because David was repentant and wanted to be restored and knew he needed to be. And tonight, however the Lord has spoken, we might think to ourselves that, oh, I'm okay. And honestly, if you really understand that you're a sinner, you need to realize that there's never a spot where you're just okay. Your sin nature is always trying to attack, always trying to get you to stop following the shepherd, trying to do its own thing, trying to get its own way. And if we are not careful, because I've heard it said, our hearts are never in neutral. We're either actively serving God or actively serving self. There's no in between. So you're either actively listening to the shepherd and letting him guide you and letting him lead you to a place of provision and satisfaction and restoration, or you're letting yourself be led and are living a life that's in want, never satisfied, never provided for, and in need of restoration. It's just a choice that you have to make. And sometimes I think we forget that God has a plan for us as being the good shepherd. And just like any one of us can get led astray, we need to make sure that we're helping others get back to the shepherd. Be that voice of wisdom. Be that voice that's saying, no, it's right to follow the shepherd. I've followed him this far and he's never failed me. You might know somebody in your life that is starting to drift or maybe isn't even know the shepherd at all. And you can be that voice and say, no, the shepherd is going this way and I know this way is right. Come with me. And James, you're going to run into a lot of people, whether it's at Bible college, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's even at church sometimes, that you can be an influence for good. Because someone's always watching every one of us, right? We might not realize it, but this week at camp taught me a lot. Levi copied Mark a couple of times, and then we had Mark copying James, and then we were in tears on the way home because they're all copying in each other. But everybody's looking at somebody. You're having an influence on somebody. That's either in the direction of the shepherd or away from the shepherd. And we need to do a heart examination tonight to make sure that we are not living a life that is separate from the shepherd. Because I think we all want to live a blessed life. I just don't think we all always acknowledge what it takes to live that blessed life. And to be in a place to be blessed by God is to be in a place close to him, under his voice, following his leadership. If we could all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed and just respond however God wants you to this evening. And maybe it's as simple as, God, just help me not to be led astray. Help me not to be in a place not to hear your voice. Or maybe it's tonight you're realizing that you are not the shepherds to begin with and you need God to save your soul. And maybe simply tonight you just know that you're not following God like you should. However God leads, the pianist will begin and you can respond however God's spoken.